Let's look just briefly by way of conclusion with the call of Simon and the first disciples. This is a fish story, and people love fish stories. From the beginning of chapter 5, once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of God, notice the same thing again, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. So this is a wonderful story. Jesus is so popular in his preaching. They crowd him on the seashore, so he actually has to hop in a boat. When we lived in New Guinea a long time ago, there was a village not far from the seminary where I taught. It was called Ngasi Galatu. Lovely little church there. And the church is only a short distance from the sea. It's a flat piece of sand, some coconuts, little houses, and then this fine little church. The pulpit in the church is like the front of a canoe. So that every Sunday the pastor stands in the front of the canoe. He's got a little, and that's the pulpit. And it's because of this story. Isn't that beautiful? It's carved by a famous carver called Dawadi, and it's still there today. So this is a wonderful picture. Luke's so good at putting a picture in front of your eyes. So here you have the big crowd pressing against Jesus, and he preaches from the boat. Then, when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your net for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is a well-told tale. Everyone loves fish stories, as I've said. The stupendous catch of fish is only the opportunity for a greater wonder in the story. Simon's vision is the occasion for hearing the call of the Lord to discipleship and to the mission of the kingdom. So there he is, Simon, up to his armpits in fish. What does he say? Somebody wrote a little book called What Are We Going to Do with All These Rotting Fish? What are we going to do? What does Simon say? We're going to do with all the fish? What does he say? I'm not worthy. He says, "Depart from me, O Lord. I am a sinful man." So he has a vision, not just a lot of fish here. He looks behind the fish and he can see. He has a sense that he is in the presence of God. That something amazing is happening here. "Depart from me, O Lord," Kurios. That's the big name for God in the Old Testament. "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." Now, there are other stories of people being called to follow Jesus in a special way, and they too have this feeling of great unworthiness as they begin their ministry. Can you think of any? The call of Isaiah? Then you got Moses saying, I can't do this. No. At the burning bush. He doesn't want to even be there. God calls him and he starts making excuses. He says, but I can't speak, you know. Who else? Jonah? He went, catches a boat and goes in the opposite direction. Who else? Jeremiah. He says, I'm but a youth. Isaiah? He has this vision in the temple of his mouth being purged by burning coals. Lo, this has touched my lips. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen, you know, this sense of awe and wonder and also a complete unworthiness. So it's kind of very comforting, actually. Peter has the same sense of awe in the presence of, but he also knows that it's a call, because they don't go and process the fish. They leave everything and follow Jesus. And notice the focus is on Simon. Who is the successor of Simon? Well, it's everyone. I mean, there's lots of people that follow in this tradition, but Simon is the first one. And by implication, those in the boat, it says, it doesn't say Simon left everything, it says they. So Simon is representative of all the apostles and all who will hear this call to leave their nets and follow Jesus in this call. So this is just the beginning, and since then there have been hundreds and thousands and even millions who have heard this call. One of them is the present person who is history acknowledges in some way as the successor of Peter, and that is Francis. Now, I read something very interesting the other day about Saint Francis. A reporter asked him, what's his Christian name? Bergoglio is, but what's his first name? I've forgotten. His normal kind of Italian name. Who is this person? The reporter said. And then he hesitated, and then the reporter backed off and said, oh, well, perhaps I shouldn't have asked that question. Is it all right? And then Francis said, yeah, that's all right. And then he thought, and he said, guess what he said? I am a sinner. I've never heard a Pope say that before. I am a sinner. I am a sinner, he said twice, and then he said, but I'm a sinner whom God has looked upon in mercy. So he too has this sense. You cannot be a servant of the Lord without knowing your own inadequacy, without knowing your own sinfulness, that the message that you proclaim, that it's gone into you. That the forgiveness and healing that comes through Christ has come to you. And that's how Peter begins, you know. I'm a sinful man, depart from me. But he doesn't depart. Jesus doesn't depart. Neither does Peter, because he picks up this call, and that's the beginning of a wonderful story. So, just summing up today, you got stuff that's fairly ominous. You got hostility. You've got rejection. And in both those stories, you've got this, but here, you don't find any of that. So despite the rejection, Jesus is undaunted, and he wants to get on with the mission, and he calls people into this mission. And all the gospel stories begin with stories of call, like this, follow me, and then they drop everything and follow him. So God calls people to serve in all kinds of ways. Some, like Peter, like the disciples, have a special calling. And we saw witness that this morning with James having a special call to Australian Lutheran College. Our pastors have a special calling of some kind, but this does not make them more important or better Christians than others. Because those who are your pastors, those who have a special ministry of the word and of the sacraments, they too are sinners, just like Francis said, just like all of us. So we're all, it's good that this happened in a boat because we're all in the same boat. And Jesus calls us from our boat to go and follow him. Next time, which is the last time of this series, we will pick up the ministry in Galilee again. We're going to look at some more words of Jesus, some more deeds of Jesus, and we're going to focus especially, I'm going to leave time for this, on the story that concludes the ministry in Galilee, and that's the story of the Transfiguration, which is in chapter 9, I think, from about verse 41. We'll close with a prayer. Gracious God, thank you for the opportunity to read and study your word. We pray that through your word we may be encouraged in our faith, that we may see in your word Jesus, our teacher, our Lord, our Redeemer. Thank you that he went through rejection for our salvation. Help us not to turn our backs on him, but to be faithful, not to oppose him, but to witness to him by the way that we live our faith. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.